Amen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, amen. So, when we read this gospel, we saw the conversation that happened earlier in the gospel about a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. But then, our Lord says a phrase, or focuses on, ends the gospel reading today with a very important and special comment. He says, so I want you to picture this. Christ is standing or sitting with a bunch of people. And people came to him and said, a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in the circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Our Lord is constantly inviting us into a real relationship with him. And we talk about this a lot. That our relationship with God is the most important aspect of our life. The stronger our relationship with God is, the clearer our path is. And so today I want to focus on a phrase that is commonly talked about, a phrase that it's like the number one question you can always ask from the youngest to the oldest. There's never a time that we don't ask for this one specific phrase. And that phrase is, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? We ask it generally, what is the will of God? We ask it, what is the will of God for me in X? Like when we say, what is the will of God? What's God's will for me? What job does God want me to take? What career does God want me to take? Which house should we get? Who should I marry? Which car should I get? We ask for God's will, and this is how we are wired. Because we love God, we, as a people, want to know God's will. We want to. And we are willing to obey God's will if we know it. Like if God told us to go somewhere specific, we would all go. There's no question. If it's a clear message and we say, okay, God, where do you want me to go? And you hear a voice, right? Or you receive a text message that says, God says, go here. Everyone will go. No one will question it. The problem is we all seek that question. We seek the answer to that question, what is God's will? But we don't know where to find it. Because unfortunately, he's not going to tap us on the shoulder and tell us. Or you're not going to receive an email or a text message. Unfortunately. But he does make it clear. He makes it clear through the scriptures, and he makes it clear personally. Like, it's not just a general question. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what that means. So God's will, a person who's living according to God's will, by definition is a Christian, is a godly person, it's somebody who's following Christ. He is following Christ, so by definition, he's a Christian. And we constantly ask for God's will. We say this when we say the Lord's Prayer, and unfortunately sometimes we've turned the Our Father into either a race or we just need to say it like just to check off a box. But the Lord's Prayer, we ask. We say, thy will be done. We want your will to be done. Whatever you want, I have my requests. I have my concerns. I have my situation. But we ask for your will to be done. And there's a benefit in seeking God's will. There's a gift that comes out of it. We say it at the end of every Catholic epistle. We say what? Usually it's just kind of like raced as we're ending the reading, before we start the hymn, it says, do not, what? Do not love the world, nor the things which are in the world. The world is passing away and all its desires. But he who does the will of God shall abide forever. So there's, in that idea of living in the will of God, it's not just so that we can be happy here. It's that doing the will of God leads us into a true, strong, real relationship with God that continues in this world and after. So what is this will of God? The gospel is very clear in what the will of God is in a general aspect. And what I mean by that is, if you're looking in the Bible to see who you should marry, you're not going to find it. If you're looking in the Bible to see where you should live or what job you should take, you're not going to find it. But the answer is still there, because if you do the will of God, those answers will be clear. Okay, so I'll tell you what I mean by that. The first thing is, the will of God is our sanctification. St. Paul says it very clearly. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, the will of God is your sanctification. Like, sometimes we're like looking for an answer. Like, what is the will of God? Your sanctification. Now, what does that mean? That word is a very loaded word. What is being sanctified mean? Being sanctified means to be holy, to be set apart, to be different, to be united with Him, not united to the world. To live this life according to Him. A life according to God is a life of sanctification. A life that is constantly, you're constantly being refined. You're being sanctified. In the liturgy, there's an offering that comes in. Comes in early in the morning. People make this bread, right? And people purchase this wine, okay? And this bread and wine is chosen and selected and then offered. Selected and then offered to God. And throughout the process of the liturgy, there is a sanctification process happening to this bread and wine. It starts off with bread, regular bread. Good tasting bread, but it's just bread. And then just wine. Wine purchased. Nothing special about either of those items. Alone, they're fine. They're nothing. But something happens in the liturgy. From the beginning of the liturgy, there is a sanctification process happening. They are no longer just bread and wine. At some point, we call it the bread, the body, the bread turns into the body, and the wine, the blood of Christ. Not imaginary, not like, oh, we're just going to make believe now. This isn't a big giant skit that we're trying to do. No, that it truly is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There is a sanctification that happens, a transformation. So the first thing is that the will of God is our sanctification. But what does sanctification require? Sanctification requires two things. It requires sacrifice, and it requires transformation. Truly sacrifice. I just mentioned that this bread and wine is offered to God for the change to happen. This change cannot happen outside of God. But this bread and this wine change. Something happens. It's no longer bread and wine. It still looks like bread and wine. It tastes like bread and wine. But it's the body and blood. And that mystery, that change, is what happens. It's the sanctification of this bread and wine. We also are sanctified. We enter into liturgy. We come in offering ourselves. Just like the bread and the wine are offered, we offer ourselves. Now, okay, when I offer myself, I'm not telling God what to do. God is now working in me and changing me. Do I still look the same at the end of liturgy? Yeah, just a little bit more sweaty and hot and tired, but the same. I look the same. But something happens. We all come to church looking one way. We come out physically looking the same. But there is a transformation that happens. But that requires sacrifice. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to do the perfect will of God? Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Again, living sacrifice is a little bit of an oxymoron. Because when you sacrifice something, you lose it. Right? Like the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice the animals. The animals, when they are sacrificed, they're dead. That's it. So what does it mean to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice means there's a transformation that happens. A living sacrifice is that there's a transformation. That I'm going in there as a living being. I'm choosing to offer myself. And because I am, something different happens. You know, in that prayer, there's a prayer that we do when we do it once before when Abuna puts the veil on. It's a private prayer that we say, like, bless this wine, this bread, and bless us, right? And our sanctification. We say that silent. But then there's a more, like a more intense one later. It's called the Epeklesis. And that happens, the way many people mark it, is the first time we all kneel down. Because there's something happening. That we ask for the descent of the Holy Spirit. And we're asking, and Abuna says a silent prayer, an audible prayer. And I wish that the inaudible prayers were audible. And because they're so beautiful. And in it, Abuna says, we ask for the sanctification of us and these gifts. So first, us, that we may become saints. That's what sanctification is. The will of God is that we become saints. We are transformed. We look and act and live like Christ. And if we do that, everything else works out. And we'll get to that point. The second thing is, the will of God is for the salvation of us all. It's not just for my salvation. I know it's for my salvation. But it's not just for my salvation. And if I think about that, it changes things. Because if I'm coming here to church because of my sanctification, my salvation. And it's important, and I'll say this, and please don't misunderstand it, but it's important to be selfish in your spiritual life. Be selfish. Focus on yourself. Don't let anybody push you away from your relationship with God. Anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. Be selfish. But don't be selfish in the sense that salvation is just for you. We've heard this example before. It's as if there's this really bad disease that everybody is getting sick from, and you have the cure. You personally have the cure. You figured it out. You're a genius. You received it. You have the cure. How wrong would it be if you have the cure to something, and you know your community needs it, your friends, your coworkers, your whoever, they need this cure, and you're like, no, this is just mine. I'm not sharing it. It's mine. How ethically wrong would it be? How morally wrong would it be? It's the same thing. Our responsibility is to share our salvation with others. To share God's love with others, to transform them, to allow them to taste and see what is good. And that's really important. It's not just about my salvation. It's the salvation of others. And those who live according to that, they have that care, they have that compassion. It's life-changing. Christ, when he went everywhere, it says he looked at them and he had compassion. And he wanted to bring salvation to every person he saw. And then the apostles did the same thing. Lastly, the will of God is to have a strong relationship and follow his commandments. He asks us to do a few things. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those, you're doing the will of God. If you follow his commandments, if you show love, if you're obedient, if you're... Today's Catholic epistle it's from St. Peter, and he talks about the concept of submissiveness, being submissive. And the world tells us that being submissive is very bad. Don't submit. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. It's a free country. Don't let, God forbid, like, don't submit. Because we've redefined the word. But who's the most submissive person ever in history of the world? Our Lord. He gave himself up to death for the life of the world. Who's the second? St. Mary. Whatever you want, behold, I'm your handmaiden. Whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. Tell me what to do, I'll do it. Were they weak? No. Obedience and submissiveness is not weakness, but it is truly the will of God. So I pray that we could focus on the will of God, because when we do that, everything else works together. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then all things shall be added. Everything is to be added. You're worried about where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do. Don't worry. Seek first and all things will be added. It's a promise. And we can ask God, you promised this. You said, seek me first and all things shall be added. I'm seeking you first. But you have to truly seek him. And that is the will of God. And I pray that we always align ourselves to the will of God and help others also see the will of God in their life. And glory be to God forever. Amen.